This season of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by BEI Real Estate. For over 65 years, BEI has been part of this community, helping local businesses find their place to thrive. They understand what makes Batavia special, offer flexible solutions, and actively give back. Visit their website, BEICRE.com, and find out how BEI can help you reach your real estate goals. Or call them directly at 630-879-3680. This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit their website in the show notes or give them a call at 630-313-9109. This season of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by BEI Real Estate. For over 65 years, BEI has been part of this community, helping local businesses find their place to thrive. They understand what makes Batavia special, offer flexible solutions, and actively give back. Visit their website, BEICRE.com, and find out how BEI can help you reach your real estate goals. Or call them directly at 630-879-3680. This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit their website in the show notes or give them a call at 630-313-9109. Hey everybody, I'm Richard Clark and this is Area Code Batavia, a podcast about what it means to belong in Batavia, Illinois. This episode is a little different. It seems like there's always something happening at Sturdy Shelter, and their approach to events and gatherings has been, to me, one of the most innovative things about them. That's why, when I thought about talking to Frank, Diane, and Oliver from Sturdy Shelter, I think my gut feeling was that I wanted to make it a live event that was hosted at Sturdy Shelter. So, we set out to create a live podcast experience that was open to anyone in the community to sit in and watch play out. So that's what you're about to hear. It's our first attempt at a live version of Area Code Batavia, and I'm really grateful not only that so many people came out, but that they were so energetic and engaged throughout. So, as they say, this episode was recorded in front of a live studio audience. Enjoy. Here are a few memories I've experienced while at Sturdy Shelter. I've camped out at a bar while I've gotten work done while my son was at Taekwondo. I have multiple business meetings. I celebrated my 41st birthday with my closest friends back there. I've taught my son how to play skip bow for the first time. I've come to the moth gathering and met total strangers with similar backgrounds. I've lived a lot of my life here at Sturdy Shelter. And even being an introvert who is maybe more hesitant to branch out and talk to people I don't know, I've made a lot of new connections and memories. Frank, can you tell me about this space and what it means to you?
I would say that this is a space that has history rooted in a place where people have gathered. You know, its origins was a music hall. And so this was built for the purpose of people coming, the community gathering together. And so, it did that for a number of years, a lot of theaters, eventually became a business, a place where businesses were operating out of. And then having the opportunity to bring this back to the community, a place where the community could gather and share. You know, you use beer as a medium for, you know, sharing life and, you know, just being with each other. That's what this building means to me.
There's power in creating a space. You can make choices that add up to a structure that rewards certain behaviors. If the focus is off, it becomes obvious that the behaviors an establishment wants to reinforce are more around spending money than engendering community. But when done well, it's something pretty special. Diane, what did you hope people would do in this space?
Well, for me, I feel, well, for us, all of us, we speak together, and I speak, I think, for the team too. We hope that people will find a place where they're welcome and included. It's really important for us to have people that are here and able to be themselves. You know, as a woman, I'm especially sensitive to the fact that if I walk in a space, I'm welcome, or I'm going to be, it's a safe space. And so over this space to be welcome and for everybody is really important to us. And we want everyone to feel that way. Mm.
It doesn't take a lot to notice the intentionality that went into creating Sturdy Shelter. In a way, it's almost mind-boggling to think about all the relationships that have been established and strengthened simply because this space exists. Oliver, what are some things you've seen take place here that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, yeah. So I'm here a lot on like weekend nights, you know, and so like a lot of like fun things happen on weekend nights. I was actually just thinking about this yesterday, and it'll come to me in 1 second, but like a lot of people celebrate things here. Like there will be like birthday parties or like sometimes it's not even like birthday parties are like life like occasions, or sometimes it's not even like, yeah, it's sometimes it's like stuff that is more sad and somber, and that's very touching when that happens. Like when moments when like somebody is, you know, in a spot and they're like, well, this is where I want to be, and it, that means a lot, like a lot. It means a lot.
Yeah. The truth is, community is hard to build. It can be messy sometimes, and belonging can be hard to simply stumble upon. That's why I want to talk to Frank, Diane, and Oliver tonight. I want to talk to them about their intentions with the space, how they've managed to implement their good intentions, and what they do when they become aware of the risk of falling short. Let's start with this question. This is for Frank and Diane. How old is the idea of Sturdy Shelter?
I'm an introvert. I have to process slowly.
Yeah. So we, I bought Frank a gift of a homebrew kit at 40. And so that became just something that was just sort of a fun thing to do. He liked flavors. He's Italian. He liked entertaining, all of that. And so through the years, off and on, you know, he became more proficient at it. And as the kids became older and could drink with us, they became a medium for us to like share and be together. I mean, so many times, and you might experience this if you're a person that's with young people, they're not always like willing to just sit down and talk to you about things. So this is a medium for that. So we would have like brewing days and opportunities to just gather. And of course, free beer doesn't hurt when you are a young person, right? And you don't even care what it tastes like. So so we'd have a lot of people over to the house. And as those days went, like all of us kept telling Frank, you're really good at this. You're really good at this. You're really good at this. And you know, I mean, we did it as a hobby. You did it as a hobby. And
were they saying he's really good at making beer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, they were, he was very good at it. Yeah. I mean, I credit his mother, Mary, who's an amazing cook, and Frank is Italian and, you know, caters to that. And that's why you might be overserved here if you ever come, if Frank's serving you. because you can't have one, two, three. You have to have more. But I think that that came from hospitality and creating and being. And so I think it started a long time ago, but people say, did you dream of opening a brewery? No. I mean, why would anybody do this at 65? I mean, we're going to be 65. Like, why do you retire into this?
What's the answer to that question? Why did you do it at 65?
I feel like it's a real call. Yeah. I think that both of us
could not do it.
Same word
ready.
On that, Frank.
Frank's ready.
You couldn't not do it.
Frank's
ready.
Not do it. No, it was something that I don't know if I would have been able to live with maybe the regret of not doing it.
Huh.
I think there's some of that. I feel there's a call to it, you know, went away. Because I was pretty established in... I founded and ran a not-for-profit for 30-plus years, so I was pretty well-established in that world.
Yeah.
But I felt like there's a calling. There was a wanted to have a place where everybody could be welcome, and sometimes where I was, what I was doing, I didn't feel that everybody was welcome to the table. So I wanted to, you know, open up a place that that would be a reality, that everyone would feel welcome. But I went away. I'm a faith-filled person.
Yeah.
So I did. I went away, and when I discerned, let me backtrack just a little bit.
Sure.
So when I founded that not-for-profit, Diane was pregnant with our sixth child. And so, like, starting this not-for-profit from scratch was not something that you would just do on a lark.
Yeah,
I had a lot of responsibility, had a lot of family, and a lot of people to take care of. So I, at that time, because I wanted to make sure I did the right thing, I went away and I prayed and I fasted for 3 days.
Mm.
So I thought, as this transition kept kind of bubbling up, I thought, well, I'm going to do what I did back then. And back then I had incredible clarity that I was absolutely confident that I should do that, even with no guarantees, mm-hmm. you know, no real income,
yeah.
you know, but knowing that I was called to do it. And so I did it. I went away, did that, and walked away. Very, very different experience, but I walked away with, yeah, I have to do this.
It's interesting to hear someone describe starting a brewery as a calling, especially one that took a lot of prayer and fasting. Like, I don't think I've ever heard that story as the start of a brewery. Did that feel weird to you?
No, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for a lot of people.
Did that feel weird to you, Oliver, when you heard that story?
No.
No?
Well, I think that's like part of the reason what like drew me to want to work with Frank and Diane is that like it's not just like a, I don't know, it's very much like an intention behind what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that like, I think it's like, that's important. And I think it's part of the reason why it's like going to work is like an enjoyable thing. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. When did you meet Frank and Diane?
I don't remember the exact year, but like my roommate Kristen, she was living with me and my wife. We were like, we had two rooms and a kitchen, so we lived in one room and she lived in the other, and then we had a kitchen and a bathroom thankfully. But she was teaching yoga classes to Diane. She lived with us for a while. She was teaching yoga classes to Diane, and they were just chatting about brewing and stuff, and then I was working at a brewery in Wheaton, and Kristen set up Frank and I on a blind date, and we went to Emmett's
in Wheaton
on a blind date, and we talked for like 3 hours. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a really good time, and you lost your gloves.
Yes, I did. Yes.
I used to live in Wheaton, and I remember you at Dry City as the guy who always remembered my name. And then you showed up at Sturdy Shelter as the guy who always remembered my name.
He's a savant.
It was so strange and awesome to see you here.
Richard, if I could just add.
Yes.
You know, we had a really nice, hit it off really well.
Yeah.
And really liked Oliver. But then when we went to Dry City to watch him do his thing, we were like, oh, my gosh. Like, he embodied the vision what we had for this brewery.
Yeah.
You know, the hospitality, the warmth, the welcome, the ability to make everyone feel significant was something that we wanted. And
yeah, for sure. And often people tell us or ask us, is Oliver our kid? And I always say, I would welcome him, but he's not. I mean, I would.
Just in case anyone was wondering.
No, I would totally claim him as my own. I love him like my own. But I think it's so important that we kind of shared that value of spirituality of hospitality, which is different than something transactional. Like something where you come in, I'm nice to you, give me a tip, you know, like you're going to tip me if I'm nice to you.
Yeah,
that's not what we want at all. And we've really hired a team. And I would say, I mean, Alexis here, Graham's here, and we have others that are sitting here like with us that we would say, I mean, that is our value. We value humans and seeing people for who they are. It's not transactional. It's about community and it's about a spirituality of hospitality. And that's super important.
Diane, can you describe the moment when you, I guess together or just you individually, however you want to answer it, decided, okay, we're doing this. We're starting. I guess you kind of described it a little bit, the prayer and fasting. Maybe I'll ask you like this. Did he just come home and say, we're doing this because God told me to or something?
No, not at all.
That's not how it works.
No. Our kids were really involved in this too. I mean, I think it's important to know that, like, it wasn't just some sort of thing that Frank went off and prayed about. It was something that our kids had encouraged us to do.
Hmm.
You know, we've had years of brewing and relationship building, as you might imagine. If you're, you know, your dad's a brewer, you're going to invite your friends over to taste things. But we had really important conversations over those things. And not just the conversations with our children and over those brews, but we also were on the other side of the bar. And we would sit and go to different places and have really important conversations. And it's a great medium. We're not encouraging like people to overdrink in any way, but it's a great medium to have those conversations that you can't have. Like, there's not those important conversations anymore. You know, there's not places where people can talk about important things. So that really encouraged us. Our own children kind of helped us name the space, you know, Sturdy Shelter, a place where, you know, you can find a friend, you can have a place where people are going to be for you. You know, it's just, it's a family affair. And like, I keep saying, you know, like, people ask if Oliver is our family, but he is our family, and our kids think of him as family too. Mm. So, he definitely has a family and a parent and parents and all of that. But, like, we're in it together. And I feel like we've hired a team that's in it. Mm-hmm. You know, people get it. And they want people to feel welcome where they're not necessarily welcome in the world. And there's a lot of that. You know?
Mm.
So we're really about hospitality. The spirituality of hospitality is huge.
Yeah.
Huge mission.
Just maybe to clarify that I didn't come home and say,
yeah, no,
we're building a brewery.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He was like, so.
It's happening.
No, if anybody knows me, that's not true.
No, we always have had a kind of a philosophy, a marriage philosophy of we have to be of one mind on, like, especially these kind of decisions. Because the last thing you know, her to say, okay, I trust you, and then everything falls apart, and she's like, we got no money, a house, and now I'm not going to have a husband because you did that, you know? So, yeah, so that's critical.
Totally. All right. Frank, how did you, Frank, expect it to go when you started this? How did you feel like it would pan out?
Yeah, I felt like, because of sensing a call, I felt like it was going to be okay. But I did lose 25 pounds in the process of worrying, because I didn't, I didn't know, like, you don't know until it happens. And everything, all the things that fell into place, you know, to make this thing a reality. During COVID, I had someone ask me to, if I'd be their head brewer at their brewery as a home brewer. And so that opportunity gave me time to really learn how to work on a larger system, and so much so that I could design my own system. So all of that experience was super critical. Just the place, you know, we were going to sign a lease at another place, and that fell through, which was devastating. I thought, what, you know, now what? Huh. And then, like, 5 weeks later, this place opened up, which was a superior location.
What was, can I ask where the other place was? No. That's I understand.
Yeah, best not to.
Well, let me ask this. Do any of you live in Batavia? No. That's okay. Yeah. We'll allow it. It's fine. I think it's interesting. It's like that it's like the your actual family versus your found family kind of thing. There's a family that you choose. I'm interested to hear why you chose Batavia as a place to host Sturdy Shelter.
It reminds us a lot of our own home, like the kind of people that we grew up with. I think there's a lot of places that we could have been and a lot of places that I think would have succeeded, but we were, for some reason, I think spiritually we were, like in our hearts, we felt like Batavia was a place, but we also felt like Batavia felt like home. We come from Cleveland. Don't boo us. All right, I love that. We have a few people here from Cleveland. Alexa, love her. There's kind of a hometown, a feeling about Batavia that we just felt drawn to, and we still feel that way. I mean, we moved here. We feel like it's been affirmed by the people who have come through the door and thanked us for being here. So we want to be here. It was not some sort of a crazy, we are from, you guys, we have no business sense. I mean, we are not coming. Okay, we do. Frank has business sense.
Correction,
I'm just saying.
Actually, they do.
We do. I'm just saying, we didn't make this as some sort of a crazy, like, strategic business decision.
Yeah,
We did it from our hearts. Go ahead.
I would say there, it was an intuitive response. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're going to open a brewery. We're going to open in Batavia. It was really weird. It was an intuitive response. The only time we questioned is when you know, something fell through.
Yeah.
We were like,
well,
is
we
this
looked
the
all
right?
over for like, other places, and we couldn't find anything until this place showed up.
Yeah. But this was where we wanted to be from day one when we started.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that the, you know, like a lot of people talk about the logo, that the logo is the building. Well, the logo came like 4 years before the building. Hmm. We did not have that logo. I mean, we walked up and I told my daughter we're here, my oldest daughter, Sarah, and she's like, where are you? I showed her the picture. She's like, oh my gosh, Mom, it looks like the logo. We had no, I mean, the logo is old. The building is new to us. Yeah. I mean, so we feel like it's, I don't know, meant to be.
Well, the one other piece to this is that the name Sturdy Shelter, it's from a passage that says, faithful friends are a sturdy shelter, whoever finds one finds a treasure.
Uh-huh.
Well, after we named the brewery, we went downstairs.
With our kids.
With our kids. And we have our wedding invitation on the wall, which we haven't looked at for 40 years. And on the wedding invitation, it began with, faithful friends are a sturdy shelter, whoever finds one finds a treasure.
Hmm.
Totally forgot about it. It was like one of those moments where you're like, I walked up and I showed him. It's, if you're old enough as we are, we're 44 years married, so we had like the little, like, you know, cute little flowers in the corner, the dried flowers in the little shadow box. Yeah, that's us. So I was dusting it, and I was like, I read it. I hadn't read it in years, and I came upstairs. I'm like, did you see this? So, I mean, I know our own children did not ever read that, I'm sure. And so it kind of came from, like, just wanting to be a space where people feel welcome and people feel like a sturdy shelter. It's important to have those relationships.
Oliver, I've seen you around, so I know you're, like, involved. You're, like, in Batavia, right? You're experiencing Batavia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Batavia. Uh-huh. And actually, to kind of go back and sort of say, like, why Batavia, I think, like what we wanted to do here, like be part of the community, fits so well in Batavia because that's what Batavia does already so well. Yep. Like you go to any business, you did the like limestone, you go there, you could go to the record store, you could go.
This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. If you live in the Fox Valley, especially Batavia, you know the problems that hard water can cause. Scaly dishes, dull hair, we've had a bunch of issues with our appliances, and it became a problem. We had to address it. That's where Bulldog Plumbing comes in. They're a family-owned business who understands specifically our local water issues. We actually used them to check out some of the issues we were having in our home. They came in, they looked around, and they gave us sort of an honest appraisal of what we could do, what we experienced. And we experienced no pressure from them to do something we didn't want to do. So we had a really good experience with them. And Douglas and Jamie Sam pride themselves on supporting the local community through their local business. That's the whole reason they're supporting Area Code Batavia. So if you're experiencing issues with hard water and you want to address that, call Bulldog Plumbing today for your free water analysis and personalized solution. Call them at 630-313-9109.
Well, I've been real hard. Can you go to any place in Batavia and kind of experience this incredible community? And it's, and so we were like, well, why wouldn't we do something here? I remember when we were talking after, before this building was found, and we were like, well, should we go somewhere else? And we looked at some other places, and it was just like, they're fine, but it wasn't in Batavia. So, yeah, I mean, I think Batavia is like that. And then, like, just being a part of, like, the Batavia community is a blast. I don't live in Batavia, but I spend 6 out of the 7 days. And then so a lot of times on the seventh day, I'll come to Batavia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. If you live in the Fox Valley, especially Batavia, you know the problems that hard water can cause. Scaly dishes, dull hair, we've had a bunch of issues with our appliances, and it became a problem. We had to address it. That's where Bulldog Plumbing comes in. They're a family-owned business who understands specifically our local water issues. We actually used them to check out some of the issues we were having in our home. They came in, they looked around, and they gave us sort of an honest appraisal of what we could do, what we experienced. And we experienced no pressure from them to do something we didn't want to do. So we had a really good experience with them. And Douglas and Jamie Sam pride themselves on supporting the local community through their local business. That's the whole reason they're supporting Area Code Batavia. So if you're experiencing issues with hard water and you want to address that, call Bulldog Plumbing today for your free water analysis and personalized solution. Call them at 630-313-9109.
I want to go down the line for this one. I'll give you each a chance to answer it. So what's the first time you remember feeling like you belonged in Batavia? I'll start with Oliver because I feel like this is the order in which it gives you the correct amount of time to process. So I'll start with Oliver and we can end with Frank.
Yeah, that's probably true. I talk a lot, just like.
No.
You're a good talker.
That's not true.
Oh man. I feel like when, all right, so I know this like sounds like a little crazy, but like early on before we had finished like everything, was like maybe like a month before we had opened, or maybe like a couple weeks before we had opened. Frank and I were in here most days, like working on something in the brewery or doing stuff. And like, I remember we had to like lock the front door because people would just keep walking in. And then we would end up like spending all day like talking to people, doing and like, so like for the first, like before we like were even open, people were just like coming in and we were just like hanging out, talking, chatting. And then next thing we know, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're like, well, like, I guess we gotta still get this stuff done. Or we're like, oh, I guess we're done or whatever. And so, I mean, maybe I feel like our opening day got delayed like a couple weeks because we were just like just hanging out with people. And that's, I think you're like, wow, it's like, we're not just like doing this and we're going to open. And then all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, you're here. People are like excited. And we're like, we were excited. And so yeah. It was interesting to like want to match the excitement of Batavia for it. And that's, I feel like it was early on. It was like, and maybe it's just like a sense of that. I don't know if it really like kicked in until later, like until, I mean, we've been open now a year and a half. And I feel like there's still moments where like, oh, cool, this is cool. And then there's still moments where like, okay, still like there's a lot of work to do. So I think a little bit of it is like, in those early days, it was really fun to meet people and like hang out without the pressure of being open. Yeah. So that was really fun.
People be like this in the windows. Yeah. And we could see them real clear. They're like, Oliver, let them in. Yeah. Let's just show them around.
Well, we used to have like, you know, the, like the, oh my gosh, like the kids that, like the kids that would go to the pool, you know, like all the little, like little kids, yeah. And they'd all be like looking in the window, and I remember our people would be like, "Oh, there's your future customers," because they were all like, you know, looking in the window to see what was happening inside.
I just want to make the observation. I feel like I could be wrong about this, but I feel like most businesses will, like, the very first order of business when they're not open is to lock the door, in order to make sure no one is coming in. It is like. It is intentional, and I've had really just one, but then there's that instance that you talked about, and then, like, I came in earlier this week to talk about this show, and it was 1 o'clock. I thought you opened at 1 o'clock. It's actually 2 o'clock. I just walked in like a doofus, and then, like, there was just stuff everywhere. I was like, oh, are you not open? And they were like, no. And I was like, I feel stupid. I feel bad for coming in. But it's interesting that, like, that is, I feel like that's a value for a lot of places, is like, we lock the door if we're not open.
Well, and there was a time, we have a friend, Joel, if you're listening, Joel, he would come by all the time. He was retired and an old friend of ours, and he would ride a bike by, and he would stop all the time to see the, like, what's happening. And Frank, of course, being the good guy he is, he would stop everything he was doing and talk to him. Mm. Well, at one point, like, Frank let something boil over. And so...
Multiple times. Yeah, okay. It was not just once.
I was being gracious. And so like, Oliver had to be...
It's my job to, like, guard. Uh-huh. I had not wasn't actually guard the people from Frank. It was Frank from the people. It wasn't so much that I was like, no, you can't talk to Frank. I was like, Frank, I gotta get back to work, buddy.
This is the self-proclaimed introvert.
Yeah. I'm okay with one-on-ones.
Yeah, right?
I know. He claims to be an introvert, but...
I relate to this. This is we're like the same in that way, mm-hmm. I think. Diane, how about you? When's the first time you felt like you belonged in Batavia?
You know, I'm always amazed at the amount of people that thank us for being here. Hmm. You know, I'm always like, what do you mean, thank you? I mean, thank you for coming here and, like, tasting our beer and being in our space and, like, helping us be a community. It's always amazing to me that people come in and thank us. I guess one of the, like, funnier parts was I'm in charge of marketing and such, whatever that means. And I kept putting out stuff that didn't have Batavia on it, you know, so, like, T-shirts and stuff, and people didn't want it. Huh. And I was like, okay, you know. So I finally came to the conclusion, like, people say it doesn't have Batavia. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. We're a town. No, and not that I didn't want to be a part of it, but just that they wanted everything to be labeled. And I so appreciate belonging and, like, community and being a part of something. And so when they say they want Batavia on it, I mean, that's an easy thing. But that was something that really struck me, and especially the parts where people would say to me, thank you for being here. Because, I mean, we are, like, this is a huge deal for us. I mean, we're taking a chance here. We've never done this. This isn't us, you know. And for people to come in and thank us for being here,
yeah,
it was, like, really, like, really special and, like, really, like, overwhelming, really, that people would thank us for being in Batavia.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Frank, when was the first time you felt like you belonged in Batavia?
I mean, we really can't tell you how many people said, like, look you in the eyes and say, thank you so much for opening in our town.
Well, and they don't even care that we don't live here.
So, like, on the opening weekend, at the end of the night, Diane is cleaning up back here, and there's a young couple that were back here, and they were looking out this window, and they're looking at the river, and the woman says to her husband, do you believe this? this is all ours. That was a day we felt like we belonged in Batavia.
Well, and I wanted to ask them, like, do you want to help us clean the tables? Or... I just remember, like, going back and being like, that's ours? Like, hello. You want to help me?
That couple was me and Jennifer. Diane, I want to ask, was there a moment where you questioned everything?
Oh, yeah. That's easy to say. I remember, like, it was like a President's Day weekend. I remember looking out the back deck of our house, and I remember thinking to ourselves, you know, the two of us, this is our Medicare year, Frank and I, not Oliver, he's young. But, like, the two of us, a lot of our friends are retiring. A lot of our friends are moving on and doing other things. I mean, we've always been in ministry. It was never like we thought we were going to go off and, like, do something really amazing. But I never thought that we would, I shouldn't say I never thought, I didn't expect that we would do something risky. And so I remember very specifically looking out the back window of our house and thinking it was like, President's Day weekend, February, so, and thinking, and saying to Frank, do we need to do this? You know, is this something we really need to do? I mean, we came obviously back to the answer, yeah, we do. And so I feel very confident, you know, about that. I feel very confident in where we're moving. I don't think it's always easy. I mean, I'm still working another job. I'm retiring come May, but... There's something to be said about, like, having those important questions. A lot of our friends have lake houses. A lot of our friends are doing other things. And that's not what, I don't know that either one of us would ever be happy just settling that way.
Was there something that triggered that question for you? Should we really be doing this? Or did it come, it just came out of internalized?
No, I think it was... like things falling apart, you know. When you start a business, there's a lot of things that happen, right? You have loans, and you have like money, and you have investors, and you have buildings, and you have like people, like different requirements of the city, like all that stuff, right? And so you're sitting there, and you're thinking to yourself, like what does this even mean? Like, should we do this or shouldn't we? But I think in our hearts, and you know. I know it sounds like, for some people it may sound weird, but Frank and I have always like sort of followed our intuition and our heart and sort of felt that we're in the river and we're going to go with it. And so we're in the river. And I thought, is this a stopping point or not? And it wasn't. I mean, here we are. We would not do this if we didn't feel like it was something that we need to see through.
Yeah. This is the only question I'll do this way, but I'm going to open up to just whoever feels led to answer this question. What has running a business in Batavia, particularly Sturdy Shelter, taught you about yourself?
I'm not sure this is like in context of like Batavia, but there were a lot of like hoops to jump, crazy. Like there are moments, and she was really kind of referring to it. There were moments where I thought, oh my gosh, this it's isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, one of the things was I didn't realize, and I couldn't find any documentation, but the bank who, you know, where our loan is from, said that you have to have all your construction permits all done before we'll issue your loan. And I had a closing date on this building that was, so I remember coming to them and said, all right, we got a building, you know, we're ready to roll because of all the hoops are jumped. And they were like, no, you got to have construction permits, which we were months away from. Hmm. And I was like, it's over, you know, like they're not going to hold this building for us because, you know, we don't even own the building. How do we get construction permits? We don't even own the building. It was really, it was a
like
moment.
The chicken and the egg thing. I mean, you couldn't get a permit without, yeah. I mean, it was sort of that circular thing, yeah.
So that was, like, so those, there were moments where, like, and I remember, like, we had probably, like, maybe five of those on the second one. Like, the first one, I was, emotionally distraught. I mean, I really, like, I was, like, it's, you know, like, I was, like, it's, like, 24 hours of, like, of complete depression. Mm. Like, this isn't going to happen. The second one, I was like, okay, then, you know, I maybe went 20 hours. The third one, I was like, well, this is my life now. And I started to realize that every one of these hoops, we were able to jump. We were able to hurdle them. And so... get resilient. And yeah. So that
somebody
was
said that to us. I'm not sure. Like someone said that to you about resilience.
I have a friend who owns party stores in Silicon Valley, and he's been a good friend for many, many years, and he's been ups and downs with business, and he's the one who said, Frankie, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's how it is, yeah. But if you don't know that, you don't know that, right? Right. You back off if you don't know that.
Yeah. Oliver, this question is for you. What has been your biggest struggle?
I think sometimes my biggest struggle is like, so I get very excited about a lot of things. I tend to be very like, sometimes I get so excited that I barrel ahead at full speed and just sort of like forget to like look around and see like what I'm barreling over. And so, like, I think, like, slowing down and being a more present sometimes is, like, an important thing, cause, especially behind the bar, because it can be very easy to just be like, okay, next person, next person, next person. But then you forget that, like, each person is, like, a person, that like, that's the point. That's, like, the whole point of us being here is, like, every person is important, whether they're, like, and I know it sounds, like, kind of cheesy, but it's honestly the reason why I think that way is like, this, like, crippling fear that if somebody's missed, they're going to be upset with me. And I know that sounds like that's us, but it's, like, it's not, I don't know, maybe that doesn't, it hurts in the moment, and then I can get over it, but, like, yeah. I don't, like, I'm, like, it's important for me to, like, have not missed someone, and I know I do it, and it's, like, and I think that's, like, kind of what drives me. But, like, that is something that, like, is, that's probably my biggest challenge. It's like just being okay with, like, you know, messing up sometimes and then getting
he's,
right back at
he's
it.
He's so good at what he does, though. I mean, yeah. Really. I mean, I...
Undeniable.
Yeah.
How did that struggle, like, I'm assuming you have always had sort of that tension in your life. How did that change at Sturdy Shelter? Moving to Batavia, is it different? Is the vibe different? Is it easier or harder?
Yeah. So the struggle has been there. I've had multiple. When I was in college, I had a really tough time of like talking, like where I would like talk way too much, and like I had multiple professors be like, "Oh, shut up." So that happened like multiple times. I'm like, oh my gosh, what? Oh no. So it's like things like that, you know? So working at Sturdy Shelter, I feel like it's like, I'm just trying to refine it so that it's like there's like two things that have to happen. Like one, it could all be based on scripts, but then if it's all based on scripts, it's not genuine. Yeah. So how do you make it genuine, but still, you're still able to like engage with people and in a high volume, because that's sort of the job sometimes, it's like there's like a high volume of people. And so that is like a struggle. It's like this, like, because I want to make sure that it's genuine. And because if it isn't, I think people can tell. I think a lot of like, folks are really good at like sussing out disingenuousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think like that's something I'm like, I want to like guard against in my life is like, if I am being disingenuous, like, that's worse than just having a bad day.
Yeah. Frank, is there anything that, like, you stress about, like, every night?
Initially I did. I mean, that's why I lost, but I think it was more, like, I lost 25 pounds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
At the beginning. And that was mostly because I was hoping my numbers would work.
Yeah.
I was like, I have no idea, you know, will... The projections.
Well, responsibility for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the responsibility to take care of other families and people.
Yeah.
It's huge.
How big was the staff when you launched?
Five of us?
Yeah, it was Frank, Diane, Oliver, Abby, and Jim.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was all we had hired. And then we had opening night, we had a bunch of people just jump in.
A lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
Got it.
People that just love us and love you.
But cool. Yeah, it was just the five of us. Yeah.
Do you all, I'm curious, just in general, do you all feel, I mean, there's a lot of talk about initial anxiety and worry and struggling. Is this a big, this moment right here, is this a big sigh of relief? Celebration? Is that what's happening?
Like this podcast?
Right now in this moment. Well,
thank you, Richard.
We are kind of
just looking for it. I'm searching for a title here.
Yes,
guys.
We are kind of celebrating.
Big day.
We did. We had a pretty big day today. We canned beer for the first time today. So really excited about that. Yeah. So and that's actually that's pretty exciting. That's a very exciting moment for us. So yeah.
Frank, do you feel like this is settled?
I feel I'm relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel relaxed right now. Yeah.
Good. Diane?
I feel very confident in the future. I just retired from, or I said I'm going to retire from the position I had. And so I feel very, very good about being here full time and having an opportunity to just like focus on one thing instead of like two or three things. I'm very excited about my team. I feel like we are very, very, very lucky to have, blessed to have the people we have. I mean, we have an amazing group of people who help us and have great ideas. And
invested.
I just, so invested in mission, which is, people say, well, you know, a lot of people want to pour a beer. I can teach anybody. I couldn't personally, but you could. I was taught how to pour a beer.
Tilted a little bit.
Yeah, right? I'm just saying, I mean, a lot of people can pour a beer. I mean, and you've been to those places. It's more than pouring a beer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to recognize people as, you know, people that come through the door as human beings, as people that are valuable, as people that, it's just super important for us to have a spirituality of hospitality.
I think we're more than just addressing the human thirst for beer. I think a very important part of who we are.
And the beer is good.
We hope that's the case. But we address.
Speaking of team, here we go. Those of you who aren't see that, we just were served by our best server, Chris Abbott's.
Yeah. But the point, I don't know, like, I really love beer and I like making beer, and but I don't know if, honestly, I would open a brewery just for beer. It's just not enough. I think that, like, the human thirst for connection and community and belonging is kind of animates who we are. And so the coupling those two things together as beer as the medium for that, and then hoping that families and individuals could find connection, belonging, significance. Yeah. I mean, those are the human thirsts. And so as a business, we're really very much about addressing those.
Yeah. We're going to go down the line one more time. Last question. Start with Frank this time. To you, what does it mean to belong in Batavia?
I really love it here. I love the people here. I think it's a very unpretentious community. It's a very accepting community. It's a very loyal community. Now, we just canned a beer today called the Batavia Hellas-style Lager. And on the label, it talks, you know, the beer is a very approachable, and it's very much like the people of Batavia. And it's, we also, there is the map on there, but it also, a big part of it is that this is a, like a faithful and true community. And we felt like this beer is faithful to its style. And true to its style, that the Hellas, like the people of Batavia. Yeah. So I feel like the community has embraced us in wonderful ways, they've treated us more like partners as opposed to what could you do for me, you know. So so all of those pieces are, I think, are the elements of feeling like we belong or I belong here. I love this community. I really do.
That's great. Diane?
I feel like it's really important to belong. You know, I come from my own beginnings are about adoption and belonging, and to me, belonging is huge. And so anytime I feel like there's an opportunity to embrace or to include, I feel like is really a part of who I am and what I'd like to see. I'm not always perfect at it. Nobody is. But I feel like I didn't have a lot of friends when I was a kid. I wouldn't say I was a really popular person in any way. But I feel like having a space where people can be along, and like when I walk in the door, I wave my hand and people actually wave back to me. I know, I mean, you may laugh that you say, well, I'm the owner, but you know what, that's not common, you know? That's not a big deal to a lot of people, you know? But to me, to have a place I come home to, I mean, I don't live here, I live in another town along the river.
You can say it.
St. Charles, all right. I mean, it's fine.
Fun fact about St. Charles, the mayor of St. Charles is here a lot.
There you go.
Yeah. I love that. That's great.
There you go. But I don't want to get too like mushy and sentimental about it, but it really does matter to me that people belong. And so for me, coming out of high school ministry, where I see so many students that feel outsiders and don't belong, like to me it's important for people to belong here. And like the only rule is don't be a you know what, then go home and come back tomorrow better. But it's really important to me that people are able to belong here, because that comes from my own personal experience of wanting to belong. And doesn't everybody want to belong? Yeah?
Yeah. I love that. Oliver, how about you? What does it mean to belong in Batavia?
I think for me, I think one of the, like, it's cool, and I don't know if it's a little cliche, but like walking down the street and like seeing somebody wave at you from their car, and you wave at them, and you're like, hey, what's going on, Bob? That's always really fun. I think when that
shout
happens,
shout out to Bob.
Shout out to Bob, right? Yeah. But then also, like, I think here in Batavia, like, I remember I worked at I worked in Wheaton for a long, long time, and I've served people there for years. And it'd be like 5 years after I'd served them, and it's like, oh, I didn't know you were married. And I'm like, well, yeah, did you just get married? And I'm like, well, no, I've been wearing my ring every day for the last like 10 years, you know. Being more than just somebody who works in Batavia, I feel like there are, like, the connections that I've made in Batavia are more than just like people that I serve beer to.
Mm-hmm. And asking who you
are. Yeah, like finding out who you are. And I think people have done that for me as I like attempt to do that for them. So I think that's something that like happens in Batavia, and I think that's like what it means for me to belong.
And the fact that you want to know us is like makes Batavia Batavia, or makes us a community. I mean, we so want that spirituality community, and so that hospitality. So when people come back and they actually want to know us too, I mean, that's really special.
How about a round of applause for our guests tonight? This has been awesome. Creating community is hard, especially if you want to create a community where everyone feels welcome, everyone feels included. As long as you're not a you-know-what, is that what she said? As long as you're not a you-know-what, you can come in and feel like you belong.
Just have to be different tomorrow.
Just be different tomorrow. That's good. But it takes more than just three people with a dream to make that dream a reality. It takes the support of a community. That's why I think it's particularly fortunate that Sturdy Shelter is located in Batavia, because a successful third space requires us to embrace those values out loud, no matter how introverted we are or how comfortable we might be. Because the ideal space is just a start. True community comes from the actions and attitudes of those who are within it. Thanks everyone for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Area Code Batavia. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. If you enjoy this podcast, why not subscribe to our newsletter? Just click the link in the show notes and put in your email address. Not only will we let you know whenever there's a new episode of Area Code Batavia available, but each issue also brings you 5 concrete ways to experience a deeper sense of belonging in the community of Batavia, Illinois. Most importantly, if you know someone who would love to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Word of mouth is the best way to grow this community and help more people feel like they belong in Batavia, Illinois. Area Code Batavia is produced by Area Code Audio. It's hosted and produced by me, Richard Clark, with additional production help from Jennifer Clark.